The ringing of a bell is a powerful thing. Throughout history, we have used that power to great effect on many, many occasions. The ringing of a bell has called men to war during times of conflict. The ringing of a bell has called people to worship. The ringing of a bell has called people to fight fires when a conflagration has broken out in a town or a city. The ringing of a bell has called people to civic events and even to high affairs of state. The ringing of a bell is sufficiently powerful that it has moved from being just something which happens to our ears to being something we experience in our souls. Many of you, for instance, probably somewhere along your academic path, have memorized the words of John Donne. 150 years before the founding of Battle Creek College, he penned those famous words, "No man is an island." That's right. And essentially his words there are talking about, in this meditation, it's not really a poem, but part of a much longer meditation, speaking of the interconnectedness of humanity, how the diminishing of one diminishes the other. Towards the end of the portion that you're usually required to memorize, there's mention made of a funeral bell tolling, ringing. The picture is one of a ceremony having concluded inside of a chapel or a cathedral somewhere, and the casket's being taken out the back door there on its way to be buried in the cemetery, and a bell is rung, letting everyone know across the countryside that someone has passed. And perhaps you remember the closing lines, at least the closing lines of the portion we're usually asked to memorize. "Send not for whom the bell tolls, the bell tolls for thee." The ringing of a bell is a powerful thing. Martin Luther, the one through whom which God supercharged the Protestant Reformation, early on in his career as a monk, he was not a happy man. In fact, his life was one of abject drudgery because he perceived God only as an indignant judge looking to catch his children doing something wrong that he might punish them. But praise the Lord, after many years of study, particularly after looking at the epistles of Paul in the New Testament, the light began to dawn. And so important was this transition, so stark the contrast from darkness into light, that historian Roland Bainton used these words to describe the transition. He said, "Luther was like a man climbing in the darkness, a winding staircase in the steeple of an ancient cathedral. In the blackness, he reached out to steady himself, and his hand laid hold of a rope. He was startled to hear the clanging of a bell." Not a literal bell, of course. One much more powerful. One that is still ringing to this day. Oh, the ringing of a bell is oh so powerful. Which makes me want to personally visit our own bell. If you all would just stay seated right where you're at right now, I'm going to go on a little walk. You stay here. As I go to visit our bell, since this is the 150th anniversary of an educational institution, I have a couple of questions for you. Question number one, show of hands. How many of you currently are or at some point in the past have been a part of a school system that uses bells to start and stop classes? Show of hands. Okay, probably most everybody. Put your hands down. How many of you at some point have not been in your seat by the time the start bell finished ringing? All right, praise the Lord for those of you that are honest. The rest of you, what a bunch of liars. That's ridiculous. Of course you've been late. I mean, unless it's first grade, maybe you've got a perfect record, right? You need to raise your hand. But it happens, doesn't it? And you've seen the stereotypical scene, right? The bell usually rings for a few seconds, right, to start class. And so the bell begins to ring, and the door to the classroom flies open. And through the door, at light speed, comes a student or students, their hair streaming out behind them, things falling out on the ground. They make their way to their seat. They land in it. The inertia of their backpack swings them over. Their cell phone falls to the floor. And then the bell stops ringing. If there was an umpire for education, they would say, "Safe!" Right. They made it. Now, I'm curious, were you ever late to class?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? You know, he didn't even hesitate. I'm sensing there's quite a record here. Yes. Were you late more often than you were on time?
Sorry to tell.
He said he has to talk to an attorney before he can answer that. So I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. Yes. You know, the bell in academia can sometimes work in your favor as well. Because the truth is, you've heard the phrase saved by the bell. Okay. Originally, it has absolutely nothing to do with academia. But here we are in the 150th of an academic institution, and you will see the connection. Imagine this. You are in class, and the professor is going around the room asking students questions on the homework that you should have done, but you didn't. And the clock is getting closer and closer to time to let out. And you're looking at, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. And he's just about to call on you when suddenly, ring, and you have been saved by the bell. You know, I don't know what our forebears thought back in the day in 1874 and 1875 in Battle Creek. You can see here on the screen a picture of Battle Creek College. This picture is actually from 1875, January of 1875. Classes did indeed begin in a separate building in August 24, 1874, 150 years to the day is when that took place. And I don't know how many of those students were late. I don't know if they dreaded the ringing of the bell or not. But I do know this, that ringing of the bell came to have historic proportions. When you think about what students went through Battle Creek College and eventually Emmanuel Missionary College and eventually today Andrews University, it is no exaggeration to say that those bells regulated history. And because of the impact of the instruction that took place, you know, after the bell was rung and before the bell rung for the final time in the day, history was quite literally changed. And thus, our bell, the 1875 Andrews University bell, is indeed part of a long chain of bells that changed history. Which I confess makes it a little surprising that if you are going to look for bells in the Bible, there's actually very few mentions of them. In fact, a grand total of eight. Eight mentions total of bells in the Bible, and it's not because we didn't have the metallurgy to do it in those days. We did, but only eight mentions of it, and of those eight, seven of them are essentially found in the same spot, Exodus chapter 28 and Exodus chapter 39, and those seven references refer essentially to the same thing, the bells that were sewn onto the hem of the garment of the high priest. Let me just read you just a little description of this. This is Exodus chapter 28, beginning with verse 33. It says, make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around the hem of the robe with gold bells between them. The gold bells and the pomegranates are to alternate around the hem of the robe. Aaron, who was the high priest at that time, must wear it when he ministers. The sound of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord. You know, we don't have time to go into the details of what the sanctuary system was all about. Suffice it to say that the sanctuary system and the priestly role there, this was God's answer to the sin problem. This was God's way of reconciling humanity to himself, which he longed to do. And the priest, the high priest, of course, was a foreshadowing of our true high priest, Jesus Christ, which we understand from the Bible. At his ascension, Jesus rose back to heaven. He immediately began his work in the holy place, in the heavenly sanctuary. October 22, 1844, another very important date, Christ moved from the holy place into the most holy place to become our intercessor in the final days of earth's history. And today, the ringing of a bell for the Bible-believing Christian, therefore, has a very important meaning. It's not merely a sound that tickles our tympanum. It is a sound that directs us straight to Jesus. If you were in the right place at the right time in the Old Testament sanctuary, when you heard the bells ringing on the hem of the high priest's garment, it meant that God was near. And for us as Christians today, it means that Jesus is near. The ringing of a bell is a call to Christ, to his salvation, to his redeeming blood, and to the transformation he longs to bring inside of us. And there's more. You see, the ringing of a bell for a Christian not only reminds us of Christ's love for us, Christ's blood for us, his intercession for us. It's not just about my salvation as an individual or your salvation individually. It is also a call to help other people to experience the blood of Jesus Christ, the intercession of Jesus, and the freedom that he alone can bring by his blood. You know, it's no coincidence that J.N. Andrews left the very next month to go overseas with his two children. You see young Mary represented here, 12 years old at the time. Charles, 16 years old. Alan Collins is the great sculptor here that put together this marvelous sculpture depicting this day. The very next month after the founding of Battle Creek College, September 1874, the Andrews family goes overseas to become the first officially sent overseas missionary of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we have to be clear about this. This was not an accident. It's not as though a month earlier in August, oh, let's build an Adventist educational system, and then the next month, hey, by the way, why don't we put some missionaries together? No. You see, the bell and the boat that was commissioned for the Andrews family both were cut from the same cloth. Both were commissioned for the sake of mission. The bell was rung and the boat was commissioned for the sake of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in the three angels' messages of Revelation 14. That's what those things were done for. Battle Creek College, when those founders got together, their purpose was to propagate the good news of Jesus Christ that others might become followers of him in the last days of Earth's history and hear those messages of righteousness by faith in the three angels' messages. Which brings us to the difficult part of the day. For you see, this occasion of the sesquicentennial of Andrews University is a bittersweet one. Now, don't misunderstand, it is sweet for sure. I mean, we've got all kinds of activities today. We're going to be celebrating. We're hearing the stories of our pioneers and all those good things. They're inspiring afresh. That's the sweet part, and it's very sweet. But there is also this bitterness. Because, you see, to celebrate 150 years of Andrews University being here means that we're still here. 150 years of saying Jesus is coming, and Jesus hasn't come yet. The work is not yet finished. And I think to myself, what would it take to change that? What would it take for Andrews and for all of our institutions, for all of us, to finish the work of sharing Jesus Christ and the three angels' messages with the world and Jesus' return? What would it take to make that happen? Over the last year, we've talked about a number of things that are absolutely crucial to making that happen. We've talked about the outpouring of the former and latter rains of the Holy Spirit. We talked about revival and reformation. And these things remain primary. There's no replacement for them. We must have them. But I do want to add just three words to that recipe of how to finish the work and go home. At any cost. At any cost. It was not cheap for J.N. Andrews to go overseas as our first official missionary. In fact, we know from history that he sold his house and almost all of his belongings. He gave a huge chunk to Battle Creek College so that they could get going in their mission. And then he used the rest of it for his mission overseas as a missionary, buying supplies, etc. In other words, J.N. Andrews was in essence saying with his decisions and his life, I will do whatever is necessary to share Christ in the three angels' messages. I will cross any ocean. I will cross any sea. I will do whatever is necessary at any cost. I will fulfill the mission that Jesus has called me to fulfill. And Battle Creek College, the same attitude was theirs. The founders, the faculty and the staff that helped to found Battle Creek College, this was their attitude as well. They, in essence, said, we will make any sacrifice. We will do whatever it takes. We will overcome any obstacle at any cost. We will prepare students to not only know Jesus themselves, but to help other people to know Jesus and to share Jesus Christ in the three angels' messages in these last days. That's why we are here. And I can't help but think the incredible transformation that would take place. If this attitude of at any cost for Jesus and for the three angels, the transformation that would take place around the world through Adventism. You know, if you are associated with one of our institutions, maybe it's with Andrews University, maybe you're listening from some other place and you're part of another institution, wherever it might be, you need to know this. We need to be the best we can be at equipping our graduates with the skills they need for the world we live in today. Absolutely. Being spiritual is never an excuse to be stupid. People, for instance, that graduate from Andrews, when an employer sees them out in the world today, we are hoping and working and praying that when they see that graduate, they'll say something like, you know, I don't know this graduate very well, but they came from Andrews University, and Andrews cranks out some of the best graduates you can find. I want to hire that person. Absolutely. May our craft in the classroom be excellent. And may we never forget that our primary mission is to establish students in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that they might help others to do the same and to know Jesus in the context of those three angels' messages, wherever the career is or a skill path, wherever that takes them. That's what we want them to do. You know, parents these days have choices. And if all they want for their students is maybe a little Bible here and there, and maybe some church services that they can go to in the community, there are literally hundreds of colleges out there that they can choose from. But if a family wants their students to know about the unique message and mission of the Adventist Church, there's only a handful from which to choose. May we be faithful to that trust. May Andrews University and every institution of the Adventist Church and all of our people, may we be true to our calling. Jesus is coming soon. May each one of us be faithful to the charge and do our part to prepare the way for his soon return. Oh, Lord Jesus, you have been so good to us. You created us in the beginning, Lord. You have recreated us by your grace, and we are so thankful. Lord, the hope of your coming is what spurs us on. We know that there is a better day that is coming. We want to hasten it. So please, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and your people all over the world. We pray that you would have a finished work inside of us, Lord, and a finished work through us, that indeed the work will be done and we can go home. This is our prayer, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen.